You're about to listen to a sermon from New City Church of LA. If you'd like more information about New City Church or to download more free audio or video sermons, please visit us on the web at www.newcitychurchla.com. And now from downtown LA, here's this week's sermon.
Happy Pentecost Sunday. We're in the middle of a series of the Gospel of John called Knowing I Am. And the title of the sermon today is I Am the Bread of Life. The focus of the sermon today is on life. A couple of weeks ago, my cousin, who used to live with us when we were young, committed suicide. He decided to give up life. He was faced with disappointment, depression, and some serious paranoia, and came to a point where he felt like dying was better than living. I went to his funeral and we mourned together as family. This was in Philadelphia. And I had not been very close to my cousin for several years, but I was able to pick up each bits and pieces of his story at the funeral. His life was that story. He was physically and verbally abused by his father, who was attacked. And by the time he left home, he wanted nothing to do with Christianity. But he was a seeker. He sought after life. He wanted life. He sought after life in other religions. In fact, he was deeply into Hinduism. He became a part of self-motivated culture. And he moved a new breath, that he taught new ways to meditate to yoga and various different things. It really, really is this not life in it. He's deeply looking into it. I know about his Hinduism that I didn't know about this, but I was told that he was also into Buddhism and other religions and philosophies as well. Every time I talk to him, he talks about philosophy. He was a very thoughtful guy. Later on, he joined the Masonic Temple and became a Freemason. And this is very deep of Freemasonry. He was fairly high up, in the organization. He was seeking life, meaning, and respect. And in so doing, he was very focused on achievement. And various things happened in his life. The relationship with people close to him, all of them, he stopped communicating, people stopped communicating, a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness, a lot of misunderstanding. And so his life was full of broken relationships. And I know at the end of his life was full of regret. He's also a very intelligent guy. He went to an Ivy League college, and he became an engineer with Boeing, and worked on projects at Air Force One. He directed the communication system for Air Force One. He was like only one of two guys in the world who knew how to crack the president's communication code. And he worked there for like over 30 years. He was about 10 years older than me. About 5 years ago, he was laid out alone. And everything started to fall apart. His identity and life was tied to his job and his ability. And lots of other things were getting to fall apart as well. And the foundation of his life came crumbling down, and he started medicating himself with alcohol, depression, and severe depression, and mental illness set in, and he was paranoid about people killing him to get his communication code for the president. He was paranoid that people in the Masonic Temple, the Freemasons, would come after him, and at the end, he ended up killing himself. I'm telling you this story because I think his story is the story of someone in quest of life. He didn't choose his path in some way. He was just choosing life. And this is the quest that he had. He sought life from all kinds of things, but came to a disappointing end. And I'll tell you a little bit more about his story at the end of the sermon. Your story may or may not be as dramatic as my cousin. I know some of you are actually way more mad than that. I personally know your story. The because I think we are all seeking our life. We don't just want to exist. We don't just want to survive. You know, we don't just want to survive. None of us do. I know we get busy just existing, just trying to survive. Sometimes we don't have anything to share with. And even if we have some stuff, we're so busy raising our kids and doing this and working and that and all these other things that just put a lot of higher time that you don't even have time to consider if there's more to life than this. There's a good time, and at those times, we think life is good. But sometimes those good times come to an end. Maybe we're faced with, we all die. It all comes to an end. Maybe a relationship, a very important relationship in our lives, comes to an end. Maybe we're faced with termination from our job. We'll get fired, laid off. Maybe we get caught up in a disruptive behavior. We come to realize that we have no life. Christianity is about life. Christianity is about life. Now, I want us to look at what Jesus said about life and how to find it. So, turn with me to John chapter 6. Verse 35, and Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up to the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who loves the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he eat now? Say, I came down from heaven. Stop grumbling among yourselves, you master. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me loves him, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all come by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God, and only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give you for the life of the world. The Jews begin to argue among themselves. How can this man give us flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever eats on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. It's an amazing story. There's so much repetition and focus on the bread that he is the bread. He is the bread. And here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the claim of Jesus and the wrong way to respond to this claim and the right way to respond to this claim. So the claim, let's talk about it. He said, I am the bread of life. There's two aspects of the bread of life and the phrase I am. Let's talk about the bread of life. Bread is more than just a part. Right now, we're going to eat bread for the poor and the poor as a supplement to the meal. But in ancient times, bread was a fundamental part of the meal. It was the meal. And Jesus is saying that I am that which will satisfy your hunger. Say, God, before, we all want that. We all want life. We don't just want to survive. We don't just want to exist. We want to live. If there is something in us that drives us for life, we want to survive. We don't just want our basic physical needs met. And those are important. But there's something in us that drives us. We want meaning. We want joy. We want exhilaration. We want strength. We want love. There's something more that is loving in life. And Jesus is saying that I am the source of that life. Did you know I'm Korean American? And Koreans, we don't eat much bread. We eat a lot of rice. You know, for my parents, if they don't eat rice, I don't think they feel like they actually had a meal. I remember when I was in high school, my brother, that got me nothing zero going, and then he took off or stopped or something, and he got his first paycheck. He wanted to take his family out to dinner to the fanciest restaurant in the family. Yeah, we were an immigrant family, both in the hood. And so, like, he rarely went to McDonald's. And so, my brother went to take us to the fanciest restaurant in San Francisco. So, he sent us to a place called Maxwell's Club, which is the fanciest place. And, I mean, it was so fancy. I remember there was a waiter that was waiting on the white cow around this. It was almost like a movie or something. It was just there. I don't remember what we ate. It was French something. But it wasn't rice. I remember that day, you know, we all got home. And you know what my mom did? So up the refrigerator, got corn, rice, and kimchi out, and decided to eat rice and kimchi. Because for her, she wasn't satisfied without rice. And I think if Jesus came to my family, he would say, I am the problem. He said, I am that which will truly satisfy your hunger, truly satisfied what your heart is yearning for. That's what he meant by saying, bread of life. But then, let's look at the other part. He says, I am the bread of life. We don't pay close attention to this, because we miss it. In Greek, Jesus said, ego eimi, the bread of life. That's how we say it. Ego eimi, the word ego is actually the word for I am. In Greek, the verb to be and the verb itself is one. So they have different verbs. So ego means I am. Already. But then the word eimi, ego eimi, eimi means I am. So he's saying, I am. It looks like yellow, I am. It's an emphatic statement. It's not necessary to say eimi unless you want to emphasize it, because Jesus is saying, I am. And that is the name that God called himself. When Moses came to the burning bush, and God called him to go and feed the people of Israel, Moses asked him, who shall I say is dead to me? What is your name? Moses is the guy who has God's name. Right? Cool. And you know when God said, I am. And I told him, I am. God is saying, I was, and I am, and I am to be. There is no time in which I was not. I am. He preexisted, preeminent, omnipotent. That's what God is saying. That was the name of God. And Jesus is taking on that name, that I am. There was no other time in which I was not. I am. And this is the case that I've made this up. In John chapter 8, verse 56-59, it becomes very clear. In this occasion, Jesus is arguing with some of the religious leaders. He says, your father, Jesus is talking, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and laughed. By the way, Abraham and Jesus have years Okay, Abraham was like the father of Israel, right? And the whole nation. And they just go, they say, we're not yet 10 years old, they said to him, and you have seen Abraham. Very truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, at this, they pick up some. Now, clearly, Jesus is thinking upon God, and they understood it, and that's why they tried to kill him. I know some people try to say, well, Jesus couldn't be divine, and that's all that they want. No. Jesus, in the context of Judaism, took upon himself the identity of the creator of God. I am God. He is the awesome, the unique creator of the universe. I am the author of life. I was, I am, I will be. There was never a time in which I was not. I am with your heart. You know, it's interesting that if you think about it, all the other religions of the world, for the philosophies of the world, thoughts of the world, are essentially saying this is the way to live life. If you do this, you will get life. If you do this, you will get life. If you follow these precepts, if you follow these thoughts, if you follow these teachings, if you follow their ways, you will have life. That's what all the religions of the world are saying. But Jesus comes, and he is the only person who just uniquely comes to us and says, I am the way of life. I am. I am the way. And if you're going to understand who Jesus is, remember that. The more I read John and study it, the more I'm fascinated by the magnitude of the claim of Jesus and how utterly amazing it is. And you just have to stand back and say to like this and go, whoa, this is pre-end stuff. This is pre-wild stuff. This is an amazing claim. You have to deal with the magnitude. So, how do we respond to this? I think there are some wrong ways to respond, and then I'll tell you about the right way to respond. I'll talk a little bit about the wrong ways to respond. I think what we do is we either ignore his claim, so that it goes into one ear and comes the other, and it really doesn't mean anything to us, and we just go, oh, whatever, I don't think it is. And you just go on. We either ignore it, or we sometimes give this service to that he is the bread of life that is given in the Bible. But we actually speak life out of him. That's what we often do. We're actually trying to get life from something and not from knowing that. Is Jesus truly the source of life in you? You know, I think we often try to get life through success. And we hear this all the time in our culture. In fact, it is so prevalent that oftentimes Christians don't even question the premise of this. You know, if you want to have life abundant, be successful. You know, my family was a Christian, but we were inundated by this culture. Being successful and being successful. God's not calling you to be a failure. God's not calling you to be successful. But if you try to get life out of it, it will fail you. Not only will it fail you, but you will fall into all kinds of traps. Because success does not give us life. There are so many people who have become successful at the cost of their family, cost of their relationships, cost of even their own health. And if we believe that success will give us life, we will destroy everything around us to get to success. There will be no integrity, there will be no family, there will be no management of our health. There's nothing. There's only, everything will be out of control. We will destroy everything that, in a way, we are all in question. And if something happens in which our success is in question, our foundation begins. You fall into depression. That's why some of us are in Medicare. But Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Not your success. If you eat me and follow me, you will have life. I am the one that gives you life. And I know if you follow me, the road may actually not look very conventional, because it's going to be counterculture, it's going to be revolutionary, it's going to be radical. You might end up, like things are going down for you, and you might end up needing to roll up your sleeve and begin to serve. But in this life that I will lead you, in me, through me, you will not your success. Success is a good thing. If you have life, you can do success, is a good thing. But if you do success for life, you will be not. Sometimes we see life through success. This may actually be the mother of success. In the sense that people often, I think it was true for me, I really wanted to be. I don't want to be naked anymore, I don't want to be a partner, the law firm, all those kinds of things. You know what? It wasn't really about the money, nor was it about the actual success. It was about not getting the life from people respected. And I still struggle with that. You know, it's a good thing to have people respect you and people have good opinions of you. I'm not saying you should think about that. It's like people don't think about what other people think are very self-focused people that really don't care about what other people say. But if you try to get life from respect, your life is inundated and caught back and forth by the opinions of others around you. My life does not come from receiving respect. Our life comes from God. You know, I know some of us come from a gang background. And respect and honor for the honor code for the gang. And you've gotten into fights. For all of us, just respect is such a high value that when other people disrespected us, or saw us in a certain way, or said certain things, that disrespected us, that was the beginning of our anger. That was the reason why we wanted to actually beat them up, unless we were really wrong, good, and hated them. And so, things like that happen. Huh? And how does all kinds of relationships happen? Not in that kind of stranger, kind of you grew up, kind of below, but in our closest relationships. Sometimes we mess up, we respect, sometimes we don't respect others, we flare up, it's a relational conflict. Because sometimes in order to get it, you fake it, or trying to hide a part of your life. You say you're trying to think. You show this part of your life to other people, people are related to you, well, they're not going to respect you. And so since you're gaining life from respect, you're going to start hiding. You're going to all around. We have to build our identity in life on God, not on what other people say. Because when we do that, when we begin to build our life on God, we actually have the ability to give it. And that seems to be because we don't have the ability. We are gaining that from something else. You're trying to get life from sinners all around us, and that's all of us. People mess up, people are doing mess, you kind of get that from your life. And that's where you build your life, and that's where you build your sense of identity in your life. You will not love. You will not love. The Bible didn't say, respect or love only those who respect you. The Bible actually says, love even your enemy. And you know what? Your enemy is the enemy of people who disrespect you, right? Hey, if there's anybody who disrespects you, it is your enemy. And God says, love your enemy. So God is saying, love people despite whether they respect you or not. If you're getting your life on other people's respect, you will not be. You need to get the life from Jesus. And then you can actually get the love. Sometimes, we try to get life from the relationship with people. I think we do relationships are a very good thing in our lives. I never want to hear that. In fact, I'm curious about relationships. We want to get along, we want to get to know each other. But if we make people and relationships the source of our life, we are going to be chose that relationship. We are. You know why? Because you'll mess up, and the other person will mess up. And why not give you what you need? You say, give me life, give me. You know, the other person is a little selfish, or a little considerate, they have some anger issues, some bitterness, some resentment, they get offended sometimes. That's kind of like most people, we all have that baggage around us, and you're saying, you are not my favorite. They have all this around them, they go, so, but then they mess up. You're supposed to be in your life. You are the light of my life. You are the light. And then you go, give me. Then the other person cannot get it. And so you begin to I'm not going to get it either. And you also come with this, you know, issues all around you. Issues of bitterness, resentment, issues of anger, issues of, you know, getting inconsiderate, being, you know, offended by you. You got all those things too. Now you got two people with problems in each other. And can't be beginning. You are the light of my life. I love you. So you got to give me, give me. And then the other person said, you are the light of my life. You are the light of my life. Give me, give me. And then they try to stuff each other dry, and the end will come to realization that they can't get the light. This is what I tell every couple about the identity. You love another, but you are not the light. Only Jesus. And as we, it's like a triangular relationship, I always say. As we resume life from Jesus, we can learn to give. Because when we're receiving life from Jesus, we can say, oh, I can give. I have faith in you. I'm receiving love and grace. I'm receiving this unconditional love that my heart so desires from God. And as I receive it, even if the other person didn't give me all that I needed, I began to give. You give, even when you don't deserve. And when you do that, it creates a virtuous cycle. And when opposite of a vicious cycle, in a vicious cycle, you said, oh, you were school on the different, you were more school on the different, and a vicious cycle, right? It's a virtuous cycle. Yeah. You give, you love, you give. Even when the other person doesn't deserve, and the other person goes, whoa. No, I didn't do that. And then he begins, or she begins, wow, who can I be? They start to start Christian. You see, these relationships are not the source of life. Jesus is the source of the Lord. And if you don't get that, we will pour that in the soul. Now, what's the right way to respond to Jesus is saying, I am the resurrection. See, look at verse 53. Jesus said this. He said, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Then they are, unless you eat the flesh, drink the blood, no life. So again, this is part of this whole dialogue. Jesus is sort of kind of getting us a little bit more detail about what it means to eat the bread of life. He's saying, you must eat the flesh and drink his blood. What does he mean by that? He's speaking emphatically, almost shockingly, to focus us on the cross, the crucifixion that is come. He's saying, unless your sustenance, your life, your identity is based on what I did for you at the cross, no life. You have no life. Unless you make the Lord's life from the cross, you have no life. Our life comes from what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Now you're like, okay, what does that mean? It means our life does not come by what we do, how successful we are, what others say about us, or how much money we have, or how famous we are, or whether we're in a certain kind of relationship, or even how good we are. It doesn't even come from that. Or how obedient we are to God's law. Our life comes from from what Jesus has done for us on the cross, and how He has given us God, how He has given us the right relationship with God, that while we were sinners, we had been embraced by God, adopted by God, and been children, and then all by grace, He gives. We come to this, and we receive this by faith. It is all about what He has done for us on the cross, and what we can do for our steps. Jesus, thank you. He makes this fruit. This is at the foundation. This is what He means to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Some of you are still saying, still wondering, what do you mean? What do you mean by using your flesh and Jesus? What do you mean by focusing on a cross? What do you mean by focusing on what He has done and not what I do? What do you mean by that? It means to focus on a cross. To focus on a cross as the source of life. And how do I use the other one? One, it means that it's not the peace that we are very more messed up than that we are sin. We need to constantly search our hearts. You know, there are many ways to be messed up, many ways to be sinful. Oftentimes we think of being sinful and being like that younger brother in the Bible doctor, God went out and said, Dad, I want to do my own thing, I want to live in God. Give me half of my inheritance. So he goes out and blows it on prostitutes, he blows it on liability, he blows it on blood, he blows it on whatever. That's what it is. The guy, I'm going to find my own thing. You can't do that. You know what? If that's what it is, another one. Another son who sins in a very city. That he's going to stay in his father's house. And I get to earn it. You know? And so I didn't do all the right things. He said, I'll do all the right things. But in his heart, it was dark. He was very, very far from the father. Even though he was doing the right thing. He was doing out of the wrong motive. See, he was essentially seeking life for evil. That's what he was doing. But he was only good behavior. He was not good in the heart. You see, we are all messed up in none of the other ways. We are all pursuing after life and things other than Jesus. And Bible calls it idolatry. We can't get our God. We're pursuing it and using it. Idolatry. We must come to to come to the cross. The cross means that God has died for us to save us. That means you were screwed up. If you don't understand that we're powerless, we're screwed up, that we sin, that we have been trying to get life from all these other things, and as a result of it, we really messed our lives up because the idols messed us up. Because the day they come, there's nothing for me. They don't just give you life. You give you a little hint that the theme of it. It's like drugs. They give you one more. Give you more. You've never been able to live. And so that's how we got to know. We must understand our brokenness. And we must come to humility. Humility. To eat the bread and drink the blood, we need to eat the bread and we are both needed. Secondly, we come to see that God loves us more than we can ever imagine. That God embraces us, loves us, invites us into His table, into His presence. He invites us to celebrate with Him. That is why He's saying, I know you are young. I know you are in a difficult situation. But I love you, and I want to reconcile with you. I know you need me and my power. And my presence in order to have life. If you're so hungry, you're chasing after all these other things to try to get life. I know that I am the bread of life, that if you come to me, you will be satisfied. And because you didn't come to me, you got totally messed up. But I, because you now humble yourself, you come to the realization that you are broken, that you can commit idolatry, you are a sinner, and that you come to a humble place now. Now I can embrace the
that before you won't allow me to do works because you were embraced another God. But now you open your mind up and to be embraced by me. See, that is the cross. That is the work of the cross. It's a demonstration of his love for us. Do you see how this actually means? Do you see how it actually gives us freedom? Because now, as we begin to get life from him, we don't have to serve all these idols of our lives, idols of success, idols of respect, idols of, relationships, idols of this and that. We don't have to serve that anymore. Instead, we receive life from God, and we can go, God is calling me to be faithful in my work. I'm going to be faithful in my work. I'm going to be honest with my word. I'm going to give to my relationship, even if they don't give to me. I'm going to live up to this upside down kingdom value. That's how God is going to live. Because I can only do that when I'm not getting life from them. If I'm trying to get life from them, he will come to their end. But if I get life from God, I can live my life boldly and look at the culture of the sense of the faith and go, I am serving you. But you know what? I really go down and serve other people, even if I may make less money. And I am going to be faithful to what God is calling us to do, calling you to do. And if I become successful, praise God, but you are not my life. See how free that is? We are free at all. This bread of life frees us. A couple months before, my cousin took his life. He sent an email to my other cousin, brother, during one of his times of death. He was going back to both of them. And he was trying to sort out sort of his life journey. And as you recall from the beginning of the sermon, he was a speaker who was going through a lot of philosophies and religions. And at the end, he came to this conclusion. He said, he came to realize that all of the religions of the world, all of the philosophies of the world, are really about self-gratification and about how to fix ourselves. In other words, how to get life through doing something or improving something, and focusing on something. He came to see that thing. He really looks at all of the right things. You follow the pillars of truth, then you will have life. You do this, you will have life. If you meditate like this, you will have life. If you do this, you will have life. That's what all the religions, the last thing of the world says. If you improve yourself, if you change your habits, then you'll be more successful, will give you life. That's what everybody is saying out there in real life. Came to conclusion. He said,
that humility is the only reality.
And then when we come to this universe, and then see the cross and tell you that I love you so much.
I die for you, Mother God. I love you so much. I die for you, Mother God. He comes to embrace us despite the fact that we're broken.
He says, you are my child. In whom I am holding
all of the righteousness of Jesus
Christ. We should be caught up through the cross of Jesus and a great change. He took our sins and was punished, and we received his righteousness, right standing in front of God, and we can now enter into the dance of the Spirit of God, Father, Son, and Holy, and enter into his presence, and begin to receive life, life abundantly, and life powerfully. And then as we do so, we begin to live. See, it's not to begin, but, you know, I know that receiving life is not fantastic. It's honest when we get back by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God will fill us and give us life. But it's not just about that, it's about moving us to the vision, moving us to the work of the kingdom of God, the upside down, moving us to the kingdom of God, reconciling people into a relationship with Him, and not be so, but also to help you do something, to help people see that life comes from Jesus, and share that love, share that incredible forgiveness. Even if they don't deserve to be forgiven, begin to forgive other people, and then people begin to grow. What's that? What's going on? We begin to awaken people, curiosity, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and begin to bring people. This is what we're about. The bread of life is coming to you. The love of God. And seeing the world, and seeing the God in the heart. And we put those things in the middle of the earth. We arrest them. My prayer is that all of us, individually and individually, we are each of us, come to Him, hear Him, and be embraced by His amazing day.
That concludes this week's sermon from New City Church of LA. Remember, if you would like more, you can visit www.newcitychurchla.com to download both audio and video sermons at no cost. A sermon is posted every week. Thank you for listening.